In Israel, massive protests erupted last weekend. Tens of thousands of people hit the streets in Tel Aviv and in Jerusalem, demonstrating against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's plan to overhaul Israel's judicial system. Netanyahu returned to power late last year after forming the most right-wing government in the country's history. He campaigned on transforming Israel's courts. As he faces trial over allegations of corruption and fraud, Netanyahu's critics say this moment is a threat to Israel's democracy. Joining me now to discuss is Amir Tibon, senior editor and writer for the Israeli newspaper Haaretz. Welcome back to Press Play.
Hi, Madeline. Great to speak to you again.
All right. So it seems like this is a moment of crisis for many, many Israelis. What is Netanyahu's plan to change the courts? What does he want to do?
Basically, Netanyahu, through his justice minister, presented what he calls a legal reform. I think an overhaul is the more appropriate word, that would significantly weaken Israel's Supreme Court and also what we call the legal advisors. This is civil servants in the government ministries and are supposed to help the politicians be guided by the law. And the idea behind this reform or overhaul is to bring balance between the authorities in Israel. I would argue that in practice, it would do the exact opposite. It would significantly weaken the judicial branch here in Israel and give almost absolute power to the politicians. And here in Israel, we don't really have a clear separation between the executive and the legislative. The government is formed out of our parliament, out of our Knesset. Mm-hmm. The most extreme clause in this reform is basically that 61 members of the Knesset, which is the smallest possible majority, it's like 218 members of your House of Representatives, would have the power to override Supreme Court decisions. Which means, for example, if the government, through its majority in parliament, passed a law that gay people cannot sit in coffee shops. And the Supreme Court obviously would come and intervene and say, wait a second, this is against Israel's basic laws that promise equality and all kinds of freedoms to citizens. The smallest possible majority in our Knesset could then override this Supreme Court decision. Now, I gave a bit of an extreme example. I don't think this is what we'll see immediately tomorrow morning if this reform passes, but it would open the door to the government acting with no real limitations on its power. And I believe that is a dangerous situation for any democratic country.
Well, explain it to American listeners, because we have the system, as you know, of checks and balances. So if the Supreme Court in this country issues a decision that the public doesn't like, Congress can pass a law that would, in essence, override that decision. How is this different in Israel?
First of all, in the United States, you have a constitution. We in Israel don't have a constitution. And one of the first clauses you guys have in your constitution deals with freedom of speech and freedom from religious coercion. None of that exists in our legal system. And over the last decades, the Supreme Court here in Israel has emerged as the liberalizing force in Israeli society. A lot of the progress that Benjamin Netanyahu himself, by the way, over the years, celebrated as prime minister, speaking about gay rights in Israel and women's rights and equality to minorities, actually did not come through Knesset legislation, laws in the parliament, but through decisions that the Supreme Court made based on Israel's basic laws.
And I guess the concern here is that the powerful members of the Knesset now are a very conservative bunch, a religious bunch, who would want to roll back rights.
That's a concern for a certain segment of the population, but I argue that it should be a concern for everyone, because politics is volatile. And one day you're in power, and the next day you're in the minority. And Israel is a very sectarian society. It's not just right-wing and left-wing. We don't have two parties like you guys, Republicans and Democrats. In our parliament today, I think there are 12 or 11 different parties. Some of them represent specific sectors of society, and we govern by coalition. There's never a situation where just one party holds the power. And so a party, or let's say a sector of society that today is in government and will be able to abuse this kind of situation to advance its own rights on the expense of others, the next day can find itself in opposition and mm-hmm. suffer without the protections of the court. And the role of the Supreme Court is to be the one place at the end of the day that has the power to conduct judicial review and to tell the government that something that it is doing hurts the basic rights of Israeli citizens. Without that, we will not have any kind of protection.
Well, how much of this do people, critics of Netanyahu, believe that this has to do with his own problems, facing allegations of corruption, bribery, fraud, his own legal problems, and the fact that he doesn't want to be convicted and sent to prison?
Madeline, that's really the billion-dollar question. If you go back a decade, there are interviews in the archives of Benjamin Netanyahu speaking proudly of how he, as a right-wing prime minister, blocked all attempts to weaken the Supreme Court and how important the Supreme Court is to Israel's democracy and how it is the defender of human and civil rights in Israel. And suddenly he has completely changed his mind. Now, I want to add something. I personally, and I think many people who are against this legal reform share this view, I do not oppose any kind of reforms that would put some limitations on the powers of the court. And I do think this specific version is extreme. And it goes way beyond what you can argue is a necessary repair or an attempt to create balance. At the end of the day, if this passes as it is, basically the government will have almost complete power, and it will not be a balanced situation.
The other thing that this court has done is protect the rights of Palestinians. And this new government wants to make further inroads into the West Bank, perhaps annex the West Bank. How serious is that?
I think as long as Biden is in the White House, we will not see annexation of settlements. And I do want to point out, even under Trump, eventually, Israel did not officially annex settlements, because at the last minute, Trump brought along the Abraham Accords, I think his greatest achievement as president, at least in foreign policy. So I'm not sure that is on the agenda, but I do think the Supreme Court over the years has been very important, actually, to Israel's attempts to fend off international investigations against Israeli soldiers and officers that relate to the Palestinian arena. Basically, whenever there have been attempts to take Israel to the International Criminal Court or the International Court of Justice, the argument always was that in Israel, no one is above the law, not the prime minister. We've had several prime ministers investigated and one even sat in jail, not the president. We had a president sit in jail because he was convicted of rape, not the military, which is the most popular institution in Israel. And yet there have been investigations of soldiers and officers, including on issues that have to do with human rights violations. So Israel will no longer be able to say that it has a very strong and independent judicial system, and that will open a whole new danger to our own officers and soldiers.
Can President Biden stop it? Can he say, look, Bibi, you and I are old friends. This is not the path you want to go down. You're going to jeopardize United States support and aid.
I don't think that Biden alone can stop it, but I think a combination of several factors. First of all, the continuation of protests here in Israel. And I think at the same time, also some senior people in the Israeli system who have been speaking up. We heard the Chief Justice of our Supreme Court, our previous president. But yes, I also think the United States, as Israel's closest ally, could have a role here. And at the end of the day, our relationship is based on shared values and on the idea that these are two democracies that promote a similar worldview and are committed to democracy and the rule of law. And I think this reform, if it passes as it is, again, I'm not categorically against any changes in the legal system, but if it passes as it is, I think it will cast a very large shadow on the concept of shared values between Israel and America. But I think at some point, Biden will get involved one way or the other. And also there's a role for the American Jewish community, which has very strong ties historically to Israel and supports Israel, based again on the concept of shared values and a shared heritage. It will be interesting to watch what happens in the American arena on this issue in the coming weeks.
All right. Amir, always great to speak with you. Thanks for the update.
Thank you very much.
Amir Tibon is senior editor for Haaretz. Coming up, why LA's police chief is in trouble and may not get a second term. That's next on Press Play.